I'm Randy Hahn, and you're listening to another podcast from Teal Town, USA.
Thank you so much, Randy Hahn. Good evening, everyone. It is Monday night, February 11th, 2019. The Sharks just clean up the garbage, sweep all over Western Canada, and put a good old-fashioned butt-whooping on the Vancouver Canucks. The Canucks lose 7-2 to the San Jose Sharks. The Vancouver boys play a prominent role in that action tonight.
Yeah, Vancouver got all three stars somehow.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Teal Town After Dark. This is your live and interactive Sharks post-game show. We do this after every game, and we thank you for joining us. If you want to be a part of the show, here's how you be a part of it. Multiple ways to interact with us, chat with us and fellow Sharks fans and fellow hockey fans in the YouTube super chat on the page or the app. You can also hashtag or add us at Teal Town USA. But of course, follow us all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and of course, the YouTube channel where you are watching us right now. And we thank over the 1,100 and what are we up here now? 1,167 subscribers that join us each and every night. So we appreciate it. So thank you very much for it. With me tonight is Mr. Kevin Lacey. How are you, bud?
Well, what a game. What a game. Can someone pour one out for Mikey DiPietro?
Poor guy. I mean, poor guy. I do feel for him, man. And joining me as well, Mr. Alex Martinet.
How you guys doing?
We're doing a lot better. a lot better.
We scored a touchdown. How about that?
And got an extra point up. We didn't do a 2-point conversion this time, but I digress. It works. And let's get into it. Sharks still without Erik Karlsson, which is okay. I'm sure he'll come back for the game against Washington on February 14th. I mean, otherwise we're getting close to a month here without EK65, but the Sharks winning 5 in a row enter this game, and they enter facing a backup of sorts. So apparently, I guess he got the call this afternoon, Kevin, that he was going to play on this game.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, the timeline on this, because he had to fly in from Ontario, and not that it's a super long trip when you're going to British Columbia, but still, that's a few hours. So he had to have known sometime during the afternoon, but I mean, I hope for the love of God, the kid didn't arrive at 6 p.m. Pacific and like, hey, get your gear on. It's warm-up time. Like, I don't know, but boy, oh boy. I said pour one out for Mikey DiPietro. I don't know if that's a good thing. He's not even old enough to drink yet. But oh boy, oh boy. Hey, but good on the Sharks though, because it wasn't one of those, oh, we've got this in the bag. I mean, they were on fire to start the game. I mean, 2 goals on the first 3 shots and 3 goals in the first 9 minutes, and they were out for blood, and they took this game right from the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. And they got things going right off the bat. The first shot of the game, Timo Meier comes, well, actually, LVSF saying he is of legal age, so... Yeah, pour one out for that kid tonight.
That's true.
He's 19. I forgot.
He's going to need one tonight.
Yeah, especially early on, because at 104, Timo Meier, it gets a timely goal. His 20th of the season from Couture and Pavelski. For Pavelski, it's his 400th assist. And Alex, he becomes the 5th 20-goal scorer on this team. Well, nice way to start this night.
Right spot. Vancouver didn't tie up his stick, and really nice selection on the shot. He's been playing pretty well this season. A little bit of a slump before heading into this the 6-game road trip, but he's been playing pretty well the last 3 games. So good to see him on the scoreboard.
Yep, and then it just started to trickle down from there. Evander Kane. Well, it's like they've been having this internal battle between him and Tomáš Hertl, Kevin. Kane gets his 25th of the year from Couture and Braun to make it 2-0. He, at that moment, tied Tomáš Hertl in goals there. But that line has been on a roll.
Those guys, those three have just been, I think Randy Hahn used the word unstoppable, which is a very big word to use. But I mean, when they have games like what they've been having, especially recently, they really have been unstoppable. And Evander Kane, I mean, obviously he's a big money player on this team. And usually I like to keep more of an eye on the third line, fourth line guys. It's just always kind of been my thing, prospects, whatnot. But right now, Evander Kane is my favorite player to watch. I mean, he's bulldozing night after night after night. And sometimes he gets a little over the top, like his cross check in the last game after the whistle. But man, oh man, he's just on fire. And I hope it continues.
Yeah. He's playing very similarly to the way last year after the All-Star break, or even after the trade deadline last year. Even though it's a little bit before the trade deadline this year, it seems like everything's coming together without Erik Karlsson, which seems to be a what if for this team. I kind of wonder if PDB is planning without him right now, because you got great chemistry on all four lines. Seems like the D-core is playing pretty well on defense.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to ask both of you guys, is this like a back to basics kind of thing? Like, basically the roster's at where they were last year now at the trade deadline, just, you know, with no Erik Karlsson. The whole rest of the lineup's pretty much the same. So
no Tierney, that's about it, yeah.
Okay, yeah, no Tierney.
No Tierney and Bodker, yeah. But
No Tierney.
Oh man, jeez. But yeah, I mean, this roster is pretty much the same. I mean, yes, you have that added bonus of having EK65, you know, the guy that pretty much did much of the anything that the Pacific Division did in the All-Star game, do anything like that. But I mean, this team has been on a roll, and it's crazy to think that prior to that Washington game, right before the break, this team was giving up 6 goals. Was it four games in a row?
Yeah. On that road. First time since 1995 Anaheim. And yes, Morocco, I will fess up to that.
Yeah. But also every team in the NHL was planning on the All-Star break. Everyone wanted to go away on their Miami Honolulu trips. Everyone wanted to get out of town. Hockey was on their mind. And Jones has been playing pretty well on the Canada trip, especially against Calgary. That was the best game of the season so far.
Yeah, and he, I think it's the fifth straight game allowing exactly 2 goals. And Jones had 25 saves on the night. And as we continue on recapping this game, you know, Vancouver barely came about even with the Sharks and shots in the first period at 10-9. Melker Karlsson would get his 9th to make it 3-0 from Burns and Goodrow at 8:48. Then the, you know, the shenanigans began with Kane getting a double minor for roughing and Stetcher getting a single minor for roughing.
But single minor for getting rocked. It looked like a damn Rocky fight, man.
I can't believe Kane even got a penalty for that.
Who knows? But I think they were trying to discipline things down a little bit. Roussel was, you know, doing Roussel things.
Being Roussel, yeah.
Oh, okay. Gosh, yeah.
Who's the Roussel?
Right?
It's funny, though. Like, Brendan Dillon is like the Roussel watchdog, almost. like
down.
Going back to last season, I'd say like the last four games against Vancouver, every time Roussel tries to do something, Brendan Dillon's just like right there. He's the new cop on the force.
Yeah, you know, well, you know what? Dillon has played an absolute all around solid season. He has contributed offensively. I know Rockets mentioned that, you know, his skating has improved immensely. He's definitely developed over, especially over the last couple of years in that sense. But, you know, really, really liking it. We got some love for Alex's decor going on.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. I think it looks sweet.
Yeah. AJ's expecting the debut of the disco ball in the background for the next show. But you know, I, you know, very, very nice, Mr. Martinet. I'll give you that. Thank you.
I do want to mention Vlasic has been playing pretty well the last four games. Nice to see him coming back to form, not scoring, but at least he's skating back to with speed with everyone else.
Yeah.
Seems like he's, his game is back. I don't know what was up, but I'm sure it'll come out after the season's end.
Yeah, he definitely needed the mental break. I mean, I honestly think that his time away from the roster, physical ailment for sure with the wrist, but I think it was more beneficial for him mentally. So I think he's been pretty good. I don't think he's there like to the level of expectation we have for him. But I think he's coming along. I think he's definitely improved since coming back.
In the chat, Jerry F, I like Kane's compete level. It's so clear he wants to win after years of never being in the playoffs. Rob Iman, I just want to see Kane not taking misconduct penalties. Vince G, Dillon probably hated Roussel in Dallas too. Now they can do something about it.
Yeah, I was trying to think, were they teammates in Dallas or was, I feel like Roussel came into Dallas right when Dillon got traded, but they might have had a year of overlap.
Yeah. I'm curious on that because I believe they might have a professional career. There was a little bit. He was there 2013-14, and then Dillon got traded in November of 2014. So, yeah, he was there for just a little bit. So, moving onward to the second period. Or, I'm sorry, we forgot to cover Bo Horvat getting
his... No, we didn't forget that. Moving on to the second period.
Well, you know,
we got three more goals to go over.
Yeah, so, but Pedersen, a sweet pass. Vancouver, you guys have something special there with Pedersen and Brock Besser. Goldobin? We'll see about that. Moving on to the second period, Evander Kane would get his 26th of the goal of his season from Melker Karlsson, Tomas Hertl at 4:36. Boys, he probably went to Hertl and said, "Ha! Now I got my 26. What are you going to do about it?"
Sweet snipe by Evander on that one. Like, I mean, it was almost like on that first goal that he scored, he was like, "Man, that's not a goal. I'll take it, but I need to go out and score a real goal now." Great shot on the second one.
No knuckle puck in this time. Yeah. However, later in the period, at exactly 11 minutes, Tomas Hertl said, "Ha ha! I will get my 26th. And Hertl gets his 26 from Donskoy and Burns. And again, that goaltender is just, you know, I feel so sorry for him, but Hertl gets 26th. Tomas Hertl continues just an unbelievable
6 goals in the last 4 games. I believe that's right.
Yeah. And so, go ahead.
Yeah. Playing great. Kane, Hertl, even LeBanc, they're all on fire. There's really not much to add. In terms of what Hertl has been doing, his greatest asset is his speed and gain to that point. LeBanky has probably the best shot out of the three, but the best thing about Kane is he gets in front of the net, and that's what you really want to see with the Sharks more.
And Kane, go ahead.
We've got $5 on the No Shorthouse Impressions Fund.
So oh, come on! Wow.
So that's breaking news. Follows,
if you're watching.
I have a feeling that's AJ himself doing that.
Yeah, that was AJ himself doing that. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't even say that.
That's okay. But Kane, I believe, has 15 goals since the calendar year.
Jeez. I know they said that the Sharks, we have a lot of facts to cover in this game. Oh, and one of them is that, and one of them is that the Sharks have the most goals in the league since January 1st. So I believe that Evander Kane stat.
Yeah. And I think Hurdle's goal makes it 12 for him since the first of the year. So
let's save a few for the postseason here. let's not get all the goals here.
Yeah. Moving onward. 13.
I was gonna say, speaking of facts, didn't Joe Thornton do something?
Yes.
Getting to that point.
At 17:30, Joe Thornton passes it over to Kevin LeBanc, who couldn't bounce drop back pass it to anybody else. He slams it home, and what a shot that was. LeBanc's 10th from Jumbo. Of course, Jumbo passes Gordie Howe on the assist list. He's 9th all by himself. Also, that point gets him tied for 15th all time, tied with former Shark Teemu Selänne. Boys, money in the bank. 4th goal in 2 games.
He's the new Marlowe. I'm not saying like he's going to score 40 goals like Marlowe, but I'm saying, remember Patrick Marlowe, his first few years, he'd score in 5 straight games and then he'd go 16 in a row without a goal. And then he'd score in 3 more games. It's like Kevin LeBanc's got that thing going for him. So stay hot right now, because March might not be so good for him, but right now it is. So,
jeez.
Add into the No Shorthouse Impression Fund.
Steve Cropper adds $5 to the No Shorthouse Impression
Fund.
But to get to Kevin's point, I think Marlowe's greatest asset was his skating ability. I mean, that helped breakaways, that helped transition game. I keep on hoping LeBanc develops that part of his game, but it seems like he's more going to be a sharpshooter. Hopefully in the future that happens, but it definitely seems like LeBanc has a better shot than Marlowe did in the last 3 years. I've always seen Marlowe as a speed skater.
Yeah. I think for me, Kevin LeBanc needs to be on the left wing all the time, because I feel like, I'm serious though. I feel like Kevin LeBanc, I saw it with the Barracuda in his rookie year, where all of his goals came when he was playing on the left side. And then when he got moved over to the right with the Sharks, what just happened? Whoa! Hey-o! $10.84 by Richard DeVolos to keep Shorthouse around. So it's $10.84 to $10.
Your move, AJ.
Richard DeVolos, you are a legend. All right.
This is why you got to join us each and every broadcast, podcast, vodcast, and subscribe. Yes.
Thank you very much for joining us. If you haven't already, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Also, ring that bell. That'll notify you when we post something like a brand new Pucknologist, which they did live last night. But if you want to check out the replay, you can check that out as well. But of course, we're doing this right now. We do this right after every single hockey game for the Sharks. So we're up to No Shorthouse. Steve Cropper with a $2 donation. Thank you very much. All right. So 45 seconds into the third, Braun takes a tripping call on Pettersson, sets up a Canucks power play. Unfortunately for the Canucks. Oh, great. Now the girlfriend's getting in the action. Thank you, Amanda. A minute 38, Besser would trip up Melker Carlson to wipe out that power play. Yes, they do, AJ. And then at 8:43, Gabranson was not feeling what Evander Kane was doing on this night. He takes a nasty slash call. Christine, thank you very much, Christine, with your donation as well. And then, well, perfect timing. At 12:06, Pouliot scores. McEwen getting his first NHL point, along with Nikolai Goldobin making the Sharks pay with an assist on this night.
I do want to talk about that goal real quick, though. Go just for because it. since obviously I'm a big AHL guy, follow me at Kevin Lacey 22. Zach McEwen, I was tweeting about him earlier this evening. He's a guy who's really just come out of nowhere for in Vancouver's prospect pool and really had a great rookie year last year for Utica. So I was kind of excited to see him tonight against the Sharks. Glad he didn't score his first NHL goal, but he did get his first NHL point, and I felt bad for the kid because he was kind of like, yeah, yeah. And the whole rest of the Canucks were just like, can this game be over, please?
Yeah. And that's the tough part about it all is it is just that you feel so bad for a kid that gets his first NHL goal or first NHL point when your team is just absolutely stinking it up.
It'll probably happen tomorrow against the Ducks.
Right. Wow, the donations have just become crazy. Oh my god.
They got so crazy that like my screen went black.
Right. Just another Randy G. Thank you for the $5 donation. Marty McFly, $4.99. Laurel, mwah. You're getting a big hug when we see you on March 9th for Teal Town USA Day at the Tank. $15 donation. $5.11 for all remaining goals and reach around OD done in short ass mode. Oh no. Well,
you're going to have to pay more for that.
Yeah. Christine in the chat, the rate that this is going, they'll be able to hire the real short ass. Oh, can we get a Teal Tell USA scrimmage with all these donations? Well, I know Kevin, you play, I've been wanting to play. Al, have you been on ice before?
Yeah, I played hockey for 9 years.
Oh, see, there we go. We already got it like a line, so we're set to go there. I know Jerk and Rocket have skated too. Just another Randy G. March 9th. We had a little thing going on early in the season where we set up some tickets where you could get a package of a Sharks game that's at 1 o'clock on March 9th, and then at 6 o'clock the Barracuda take on
Condors, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe so, who've been on a incredible
run. Displaced the Barracuda as first place in the Pacific with 12 game winning streak.
That's insane with that, but I mean, geez. And that's just, it's just crazy. But you also get two bobbleheads. We're going to do After Dark live from the Tank, which we've done before, but just not that. And AJ's right. We will be giving away a pair of tickets for Teal Town USA Day very soon. So be on the lookout for that.
I was so excited about this. You guys are going to want to go to this. I was so excited. I ended up buying tickets to this whole event and already had tickets for these games, so truth,
right? To finish up the summary here, at 14:05, Joe Pavelski gets just the tip of a Brendan Dillon shot. He gets his 30th of the season. Apparently Pavs is like, oh crap, these guys are getting close to my number and goals. He wanted to make sure he gets his 30th. He becomes the first guy to hit 30 on there. That's the final score, 7-2 for the Sharks.
Hey, and Oh, what's sorry? My screen is still black from all these, so I'm gonna have to refresh. But I don't know what's going on in the chat. But I just wanted to say all five Sharks touched the puck on that Pavelski goal because it started with a hell of a pass by Couture over to, I think, Dylan, missed the net. Radil picks it up, back to Heed, back to Dylan, off Pavelski. Pavelski doesn't even need to try anymore. They just hit him and go in. It's amazing. No.
And you know what? You see that chemistry coming together, guys. You see how this team is just starting to do their thing, and it's just unbelievable. And they're doing it without Carlson. And you know Carlson's probably like itching to play, but these guys have come together. I think this is the eighth game that they've been without EK65.
Yeah.
And he's 6-2. They're 6-2 without Carlson in the lineup.
Yep. If Carlson doesn't play against the Capitals, then it starts to become a bigger issue because it's been about close to a month with him not playing. That's a big story if he doesn't play on Thursday.
I feel like if the Sharks are rolling the way they are, they can afford to keep him out as long as he needs. I think I'd be more worried if we get here another 2 weeks. I understand the concern, but I just feel like right now we don't need to hit the panic button. I think if you get close to the trade deadline and you're not sure if he's coming back soon, that would be a problem because then you're looking at, oh, do the Sharks need to acquire another defenseman?
True, but the trade deadline is what? In 2 weeks?
No, that's what I mean. Like if 2 weeks come by and it's still, by the way, I still think the Sharks are going to get Jordy Benn. That's my call.
But, really? Okay. Yep. Interesting. Who would you suspect going the other way?
Not a clue. Okay. I look at the numbers and look at who could be available. I mean, Montreal doesn't seem to be selling, though. That's the only thing. They acquired Nate Thompson today via a trade with Los Angeles. But I just think that Jordy Benn's going to be on his way out as a UFA. He only makes $1 million this year, I believe, or 1.1 or something like that. That's an affordable cap hit for the Sharks.
That makes sense. I think the Sharks are just going to stay put, especially considering that Timo, Pavelski, all contract years. Hopefully they re-sign Timo, but in a dream world, they have to re-sign both. But I just don't think they're going to have enough cap. So it's really going to come down to keeping the chemistry with the team together and hope in the offseason they re-sign all four of them together.
You know who the Sharks could, because I saw in the chat earlier, people were talking about fourth line center maybe being a spot to add in. I was literally just looking around at Swift stats yesterday and realized that Genève Servette still has a ton of ex-Sharks. And I was like, is Nick Spaulding still on the team? And apparently he's not playing. I don't know if he's retired or what, but I'm like, he's not playing. Bring Nick Spaulding back. What the hell? I'm kidding, but I liked him. But
you know, and I liked another 16 on that fourth line, Eric Fair.
Doty Wood? Oh.
Yeah. Perry Barazan? What?
Yeah. No, Eric Fair was awesome.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for like a Wayne Simmonds or anything that's huge cap rental, I don't think they're ever going to do something like that.
No chance. It would be nice, but no chance.
Yeah, and that they're up against the cap, and it's really tough. So. So want to thank John, $10 donation, 10 for LeBanc, Jerry F, $5 contract option short house. Not now, but if the Sharks win the cup this year, I will listen to a 2019-20 full Sharks Canucks game with Puck Guy's impression. Oh, you poor thing. Okay. Wait a minute. Even I am like, wow. Okay.
You sure you want that?
Yeah, well, you know.
Man, the interest rate on that's going to be really low. I'm not too sure you're getting your return on investment on that.
Yeah, so there's that. Let's go over the final stats on this night as we put a bow on this game. Canucks actually outshot the Sharks 27-24. In fact, that second period, The Sharks scored 3 goals on just 5 shots. So that's an insane amount. One of the rare times that the opponents outshoot the Sharks. Faceoff wise, 52-48 in favor of San Jose. Both teams 0-4 in the power play. Really, I didn't see much from the Sharks power play tonight, but kudos to the PK with the dangerous play with Pettersson and Besser. They really kind of eliminated their chances with the exception of Pettersson's assist on the Horvat goal. Hits were even at 17. Blocks were about even, 13-11 in Xavier Vancouver. You had Tomas Hertl with a goal and assist. Melker Karlsson, a goal and assist. Let's see, who else? Logan Couture.
Melker Karlsson coming back from that injury from last game.
And kudos to him. He must be hurting.
I heard muscle injury, and all I'm thinking was, yeah, it's a separated shoulder.
Yeah, he had a goal and an assist tonight.
Yeah.
Kudos to him, but that's got to hurt.
Couture with 2 assists.
Yep, Couture and Burns with a couple helpers. Martin Jones, he still hasn't lost in regulation at Rogers Arena. He gets 25 saves on the night. So...
Burns is looking like a solid Norris candidate.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
Jones, if he plays well throughout the season, I think he might position himself as a Vezina.
If he keeps it going, although early on, that's a rough one. But he has changed it around. All the Vancouver boys, Brendan Dillon getting an assist and getting into Roussel's head. You can throw out the Evander Kane with a couple goals tonight. You can also add on to Martin Jones with a 25 save night. So a great night all around. A couple of stats that I saw: this is the Sharks' 84th road win since 2015-16, the best in the West. Jumbo has 4 assists on the road trip. So that's a great one there. Hertl last 11 games against Vancouver, 7 goals. And I believe that is 7 assists as well. So there's that. And of course, the one that showed up on the graphics tonight, 6th time in NHL history to sweep all 4 Western Canadian teams, Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, and Vancouver, on their home ice. So kudos to them. And we have 61 people watching right now. So thank you very much. We appreciate it. We also appreciate the donations. They will go to help out the show in some form, in some way. So do us a favor. If you haven't already, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Don't forget to hit the bell as well. That notifies you when we go on the air. It'd be really appreciated if you are able to do that. We totally love the subscriptions and the likes, Jessica. But
was that who the thumbs down was? Forget that.
Yeah, no, no.
It's always her.
It's always her.
Oh, okay. So
that's how we know.
She's being a good sport.
So, boys,
we are 58 away from our super chat record.
Oh boy,
nice.
Appreciate it immensely. Thank you so much. So not too much happening on this side, but let's get at it, folks. If it'll load.
Sure.
We'll just do a brief little roundup on the Barracuda. While the Bakersfield Condors have won 12 in a row and have taken the Pacific Division lead, Kevin, what's been going on with the Barracuda as of late?
And where did y'all see the Maple Leafs Rangers game last night, where Alexander Georgiev made 55 saves in the victory over the Maple Leafs?
Yes.
That was essentially a carbon copy of earlier in the day with the Barracuda against the Ontario Reign. I don't even remember the totals, but it was something like 56-36 or 56-37 shots on goal in favor of the Barracuda. And they gave up two goals in the last 3 minutes and lost to Ontario 4-3. So I've been saying it all year that Cal Peterson is the only player on Ontario doing anything good. And yesterday he proved it. Antoine Bibeau was still solid, but oh boy, oh boy. AJ's the one who pointed it out a while back that the Barracuda have really been playing 500 hockey ever since November. And just a lot of inconsistency right now. Not bad play, just inconsistent play. And the offense has dried up for John McCarthy. I think that's a big part of it. He's got one goal in his last 22 games. None in his last 12, I believe, 13. So got to get the captain back on board here. He got reunited with Jeffrey Viel and Evan Vinger, which was a great line to start the year. But so far, they're not clicking as well as they used to. Most of the team isn't. Goaltending's been great. So,
and they have a 3-game homestand, if I'm not mistaken, right? They have one against Tucson. And then
I think, I feel like they've got two against Tucson. Let me double check. I know that Monday is the orange out day. There's 4,000 fans get an orange jersey, one of the replica jerseys. And they've also encouraged anyone who doesn't have a jersey to just wear orange in general. Should be a lot of fun. I'm actually expecting a really big crowd for Monday's game. That one's against San Diego. Oh, that's the other. So it's a game tomorrow night against Tucson, and then it's Saturday and Monday against San Diego. I knew there was the back-to-back somewhere there.
Right. I was going to say, I thought they had somewhere in there. So Tuesday or tomorrow night against Tucson, that's at 7 p.m. at the Shark Tank. And
Tucson's lost, I think, 5 in a row also. So
really,
both those teams are sitting 2-3 in the division. Really need to get back on the winning track here.
So be on the lookout for that. That's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. or Tuesday night if you're listening to it in the morning. Saturday night or Saturday afternoon.
Yes.
At 1:05, San Diego comes to town. That's before the Sharks play against Vancouver. So be on the lookout for that. And then, of course, like my good friend Kevin says, 1:15 on Monday is the orange out when they break out their orange jerseys again. You can get all those tickets at sjbarracuda.com or at the Shark Tank box office. So go support the CUDA. They've been on a great run this season. Let's keep it going. And hey, why not? Let's get the double going. You know, let's get the Calder and Stanley to come to San Jose.
Yeah. So, why not?
Right. So, guys, is it time?
It's time.
It's time.
Please know Larry the Cable Guy or whoever that is. Okay, this is better.
Yes, it's time for the wait. No, I'm sorry. You know what? We appreciate the donations and how everybody talking about with Shorehouse. I'll give this to you because I'm that much of a nice guy.
Have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
There you go. All right, let's recap the night of NHL action on this evening. Alex will get the standings up in just a jiffy. And yep. let's get going on here. Penguins 4, Flyers 1, the Battle of Pennsylvania as they prep for the Stadium Series. Crosby with probably the easiest goal he'll ever score. It is 24th of the season. Bukestad is 6th. Gensel is 27th. Letang is 13th, shorthanded. Voracek is 14th. He's been on a roll lately, but the Flyers lose this one 4-1. And the other game, the Capitals beat the Kings 6-4. Wagner, Toffoli, Fantenberg, and Wagner for the Kings. So Wagner gets 2 goals. Ovechkin gets his 38th. Kuznetsov gets 2 goals. Connolly, DeJoux, and Verana, the goals there.
Connolly and who?
DeJoux.
So you're telling me the who? Islanders are number one in the Metro? What?
Right? It's spelled DJ OOS.
Oh, juice. Okay. I juice. Was like, what?
I didn't know it was the D was silent, so my bad.
He gets no, I seriously. on
there. And yes, believe it or not, folks, the Islanders are in first place in the Metro at 72 points. Capitals go to 69. Hilarious. Columbus at 65. Tampa, you know, I'm shocked they haven't clinched the playoff spot yet by now. They're getting close, though, at 86. Toronto is at 71. Boston at 70. Your wild cards at the moment. Montreal at 69. Again, hilarious. Pittsburgh, 65. Carolina at 62. Buffalo at 61. And while the Flyers have cooled down a little bit, they're 8 points out of a playoff spot. Everybody else?
They are far out. They're not going to make it.
Speaking of the speaking of the West, we'll move on down there. Winnipeg at 73, Nashville at 71, Dallas at 61. Oh, who's that? Oh, that's right. That's your first place, San Jose Sharks at 75. They even lead the Western Conference now with that. However, Calgary does have two games in hand with a 1 point lead. They play tomorrow. Vegas, been up and down lately. They've the 4-6 in the last 10. They're at 66 points on there. In the wild card, you have St. Louis at 59, Minnesota at 59, and then the tight race for the wild card spot. You have Vancouver at 57, Colorado at 55. The same with Chicago. Chicago has been on a hot run lately. At 55 there. The Desert Dogs are at 53. The same with the Oilers at 53. And, I mean, boys.
Well, the Oilers need to want it more than their coach. That's the
thing. Oh. And then LA and Anaheim finish out, and they're not that far off, but, you know.
Oh, they're far off.
They're far off. They are far off. I mean, looking at it again, Anaheim and LA are at 51. They're 8 points out, but there's still some time to get caught up there. But
guys, I realize LA's not that much better, but it's February 11th closing in on 12th, and Anaheim has 127 goals. We've raised more money in the chat tonight by like 30 than what the Ducks have scored in goals this season.
Well done.
You know, that's like icing on the power play, which is never good.
Which is never good.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if Vegas goes through a slump. Yeah.
Andy Man with a 21.34 donation and $5 from just another Randy G.
21.34. What is wrong with you?
He was trying to make it an even $150. That's why he chose that.
Yeah, name. And Laurel goes 666. You know what? We have some of the best fans on YouTube, and we can't thank you enough for it. So thank you so much. And I'm sorry to interrupt you guys. Go right ahead. I'm sorry.
No interruption needed. I was just saying Anaheim sucks.
I mean, it's not really a long statement. It's just look at the stats.
Yeah. Anaheim. Oh, no, but actually I do. So obviously Bob Murray now supposedly coaching. I think this is all just he's trying to save his job. So what better way to do it than go down the line and say, all right, who wants to play here the rest of this season, next year and beyond? Because I'm dumping anybody who isn't going to play hard out here. And he's not a coach, and he's never coached at any level, to my knowledge. So it's basically now a players-run team while Murray observes.
If you're looking at what the injuries that Anaheim has gone through, it's Getzlaff, Perry, Kessler, Gibson. Like, if the Sharks missed Jones, Hurdle, Kane, I think we'd be in the same situation as the Ducks.
Probably.
So, I think he's just really scouting, and just like you said, Kevin, I think he's just really seeing what you can get. And it wouldn't surprise me if next year the Ducks are like number one or number two in the West, just because they're getting younger, their D core is going to be better. It wouldn't surprise me.
For their sake, you hope so. You hope getting younger. I've been waiting for them to get younger for a couple of years.
I mean,
they traded away most of their good youth now. So,
yeah.
Rocket with one of the nice lines of the night. Ducks get the Oprah injuries, and you get an injury, and you get an injury. Everybody gets an injury. There you go.
Well, that is accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, where is it? Here's the question I have. And Benjamin Castle brought this up, and there also AJ mentioned up. Likelihood for Dallas Eakins to be promoted at season's end. And AJ is saying, well, if they wanted Eakins to be up, he'd be up. But I'm kind of...
Everything that I've heard, they don't want to mess what's going on in San Diego, because San Diego's pushing hard for that division lead, especially now that the Barracuda have been dethroned. It's up for the for anyone's grabs at this point. And San Diego has been the complete opposite of the Ducks right now. And I think if you're going to build, the Ducks probably won't be entirely building from within, because they're going to have to move pieces out, whatnot. But if they do build from within, you need to build a winning culture. And that's only in San Diego this year. So I think that's why Dallas Eakins is still there until the year's out.
I agree. But I see if the Ducks try to make one more year or two more years at a cup run, and so they try to hire an assistant coach at a winning culture and bring that guy in, similar to Todd McCullen, and they try to make him offensive minded, meld that with a free agent and see what happens. It could work, but I don't think they're going to hire from San Diego. Not at all.
I would think maybe he gets moved up, and mainly with the familiarity of what he's got in the minor league system, you could see that used as they build from within, as they start the retool or rebuilding process. Okay. And for that matter, Bob Murray, he's also coaching and GMing for his job here. What do you guys think?
That's what drives me nuts is, okay, 2 years ago, the Barracuda won the Western Conference. Who was right behind the Barracuda in the conference lead? The San Diego Gulls. And yeah, what did they do? They moved all those guys out. They kept Richie and they kept Kasha, and they pretty much moved everybody out or let them rot on the bench. Like, I heard Bob Murray's quote yesterday about, if there's an opportunity to get younger and get faster, I'll look long and hard. I tweeted it. Your opportunity was 2 years ago and you didn't take it. And that's why the Ducks are in their position now. Injuries, yes, absolutely. But I think that they could have overcome those injuries, like what the Sharks are doing right now with Carlson, if they had other guys available to step up, build from within. Heed hasn't been lighting the world on fire, but he's done enough to get the Sharks, help the Sharks get by.
Yeah, I agree. But Getzlaff, Kessler, those contracts need to come off the books first and then rebuild.
Yeah.
Just their contract situation is not good at all. And so it's going to be a couple of years and then they're going to have to rebuild. And so the way things are, you're going to look for a quick fix to just go with the parts they have right now.
Completely. A fun fact from Andy Man: Richie is the only positive plus minus player on Anaheim's roster this season.
Because he's in the penalty box for all the goals against.
Well, there's one way to not be a part of allowing goals among your team.
Yeah.
And shoot, we were talking Gibson Vezina the whole time. And
I mean, that poor guy.
He was playing his heart out.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I feel bad for Mikey DiPietro tonight, but John Gibson's like, take a number, dude.
He's like, excuse me, let me grab a beer really quick. You know,
I mean, Gibson was skating, he was scoring, he was saving, he was on the bench for four lines, he was doing everything.
John Gibson might as well be coaching this team at this point. I mean,
he was the GM, he was the president, he was the Mighty Ducks. Yep.
Benjamin Castle saying John Gibson is the best American goalie in a quarter century. Ooh. And he is being wasted.
No, definitely not.
I Yeah, that I've been a believer in Gibson since day one. And the podcasts have proven that. But
yep.
Ooh, that's a hard statement. I don't know.
You gotta win the cup. And I think the best goalie in the last decade has probably been Quick.
Quick has been right up there. Richter has been amazing.
That's who I was thinking was Mike Richter.
Felix with a $7 donation. Thank you, good sir. Wow, what a night. What a night for Teal Town, and what a night for the Sharks as they beat the Canucks 7-2 on there. If in case you missed this or you want to watch this again, you know, check us out on Teal Town USA.
Oh, you failed at that. I did not know of our new web link.
Dang it. I didn't set that up right. Well. TealTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and of course, smash that subscribe button to the YouTube channel that you're watching us right now on. AG's like, wow, Felix, I can't wait till the Sharks score 100.
181.81.
All VGK coverage. Here's a donation for the every cup the Sharks have won.
Wow. No. Ellie, you know what? We'll still take it.
We can say the same for you, by the way.
Yeah.
That's true.
We've got no cups, but LOI added 99 cents. So there's that.
So, all right. Yeah, he also added on to that. So,
oh, nice. All right.
So, Sharks come home for a little bit here. They get the defending Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals. That's where this streak started of six in a row. Should be a good one here. And with Ovechkin finally traveling out to San Jose now that he's well rested and such. What are you guys looking forward to it? I'll start with you, Alex.
I'll go with Erik Karlsson. Is he going to skate? Is he going to just play the game? That's one of my storylines, but it should be a high scoring game. You got LeBanc, Hurdle. I want to see if that hot streak continues at home. And then also Jones. Is he going to continue not giving up, two goals a game? Like that's, I want to see if he keeps up his average.
So with that, we will close a book on this edition, and we appreciate you watching. Thank you for watching. So final thoughts on where the people can find you, Mr. Kevin Lacey.
Real quick, I wanted to see on the Capitals game. I want to see what the Capitals do after the last time where the Sharks came back and won, because boy, oh boy, if the Capitals do not come out balls out, they're in trouble. So what?
Go ahead.
So the other thing I'm looking forward to is the fact that, hey, it's Valentine's Day. And so I'm going to guess there's some single ladies around the arena. Anyway, final thoughts are Sharks played amazing tonight. Amazing. Poor Mikey DiPietro. Good luck in your season with Ottawa. Hope this hasn't scarred you for the next 5 years, but you know what? Don't care because you're not on the Sharks. Sharks, great work tonight. Boy, that was one of the most Homer things I've said in a very long time. I'm at Kevin Lacey 22, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Appreciate you joining me. Mr. Martinet, your final thoughts on where the people can find you.
Final thoughts, 7-2, pretty good game. Amazing road trip. Said everything I need to say. Hopefully it keeps up. But I also am fully expecting it's going to cool down pretty soon, just like most things. But you can find me on Twitter at Al Martinet, and keep me there for all hockey.
Gotcha. Rocket with two great comments in the chat. Karlsson is growing new legs in a lab as we type. That whole pirate thing is just a nice way to hide. He's a real life missing leg. Well, we hope he's okay, and we hope he's back for stealth mode on Thursday night as the Sharks take on the Capitals. That's at 7:30. And Benjamin Castle. Wait, DiPietro is a teammate of Sasha Chmielewski in Ottawa. Sasha Chmielewski is from, Huntington Beach.
Sasha Shmelevsky cannot wait to see him tear it up again for the Barracuda at the end of this season.
That will be awesome.
It's nice. All connected.
Yes. Remember to join us following the Capitals game. But I won't be here. Yes, I'll be at the game. So come and say hi and enjoy
it. That's the hashtag.
Buckeye is Shorthouse tonight. Well, we thank you for watching. We appreciate the support. We appreciate you as always. And until Thursday night, keep it real. Keep it chill. Keep it real chill on the Canucks Radio Network.